So I got to thinking about how we could impress God. And I thought about a story. This lost, wicked, rebellious man, turned out he bought a business and got to be very successful in the business. And as his business grew, he said, you know what? I think my business will grow better. There's a church around the corner. If I get involved in the church, then I can be in the community. So he went down and he joined the church. Now, he was an adulterer. He was an alcoholic. And he had never been in a church before in his life. Excuse me. But when he went down to the altar to join the church, he gave a public testimony to the church that there was no sin in his life and that he had grown up in the church. And they readily accepted him as a member. Ha! This is pretty cool. He went home and told his wife, who was a believer. She excoriated him for being such a hypocrite and demanded that he go back to that church next week and confess what he really was. Well, God used his wife to break him, and he took it to heart. The next Sunday, he went back to church, walked down in front again like he did, and this time he confessed to the whole church all of his sins. He told them that he was dishonest, that he was an alcoholic, he was an adulterer, but he was sorry. They revoked his membership at once and escorted him out of the church. So he muttered to himself, well, wait a minute, these church folks are really strange. I told a lie, and they took me in. And when I told them the truth, they kicked me out. That's what Jesus was telling in the parable in that story of two men in a very similar situation who had totally had different results. The one man tried to talk himself into God's kingdom, but he didn't make it. The other man tried to talk himself out of God's kingdom, and he did make it. So now Luke records this, and he makes it plain who Jesus was telling to in the parable. In verse 9, if you remember, when I read it from the New Living Translations, it says in the NIV, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves and that they were righteous and despised others. Now, if you want to know whether or not you are being addressed in this parable, you know, God speaks to us in his scriptures, especially in parables. If you think maybe you are being addressed in there, think about it. Do you ever look at people who don't go to church and think, yeah, you are better than they are because you go to church and they don't? Jesus might be talking to you. Do you ever look at people in prison and think you are better than they because you're not in prison? Jesus might be talking to you. Do you ever look at people who are divorced and think that you are better than they are because you're not divorced? Then Jesus just might be talking to you. Do you ever look down your nose at anyone for any reason and think that you might be better than them? If so, Jesus might be talking to you in this parable. Now, I promise you, everyone of you will find yourself somewhere in this story, because at one time or another, all of us are guilty of trying to impress God. You're going to learn in a moment as we look at some of these ways that what does not impress God and what does. The Pharisee fooled himself. At least he thought he was fooling himself. The scriptures say these two men went up to the temple or to the church to pray, and one was a Pharisee and the other is a tax collector, and the Pharisee stood and prayed himself at the center of the church. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like any other people. I'm not an extortionist, and I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not unjust, but even this tax collector is. I fast twice a week, I tithe, and give you all of my possessions. Now, I know immediately that you're ready to jump all over that Pharisee because he is at least saying that he's a little bit arrogant. I would say he's a lot arrogant. But let's give the devil his due. Quite frankly, he's really an Eagle Scout. And I don't mean bad things for the Eagle Scouts, but most of the time when you think of an Eagle Scout, you think of a good young man that has grown up. This old Pharisee dotted every religious I, crossed every theological T, and he went strictly by the book. He had a heart for religion, and that was his problem. He had no heart. He's standing in the center or the inner court of the temple. And the reason that he stood there was because it was there where he could see everybody, and everybody could see him and know how wonderful he is. Well, first of all, we read that he fasted twice. In the Old Testament, Jews are only required to fast once a year, and that's on the Day of Atonement. But this man said he fasted 103 times a year, more than it was required. I think God would be impressed with me. And then we read that he tithed everything that he possessed. Now, the Old Testament only requires that you tithe your income. But this man tithed everything that he earned and everything that he bought and everything that he owned. So, in other words, he was a double tither. Now, there's nothing wrong with fasting more than once a week, and there's certainly nothing wrong with giving more than your tithe. But the problem is, this man thought that a lot of people today think that his goodness would gain him brownie points with God. He thought God would accept a person based on what they do for him. Then he was religious and he was proud of it. But think about this and make this application. If you are trusting anything, church membership, church attendance, baptism, religion, good works, other than Jesus Christ to make you right with God, you're fooling yourself. The Pharisee thought that God would be impressed with all that he was doing. So now we learn the first clue of what impresses God. And what impresses God is when you don't try to impress God. Just be yourself. I heard about a little fifth grader. Came home from school one day. She was so excited. She had, and I thought about this because they just had an award ceremony there. Chairs where Travis and Lexi go. And she came home from school so excited. She had been voted the prettiest girl in the class. The next day, she came home more excited. Mama, I had just been the most likely to succeed. Oh, wow, that was good. Next day, she came home and told her mother that she was won the third contest, which is the most popular girl in the class. But the next day, she came home upset. Honey, she said, what's the matter with you? The mama said. What happened? Did you lose this time? Oh, no, she said. I won the vote again. Well, what did you get voted on this time? I was voted this time the most stuck-up girl in the class. Stuck up. Well, the Pharisee would have won that contest hands down. He had an I problem. You see, five times you will read that little pronoun I in the two verses in Luke 18. He was stoned on the drug of self. He suffered two problems. He suffered inflation and deflation. He had an inflated view of who he was and a deflated view of who he was. C.S. Lewis had wrote a lot of allegories. C.S. Lewis at one time was an atheist, and he come to know the saving grace of God, and he had a gift of writing, and especially with allegories. He was just awesome. C.S. Lewis once said, a proud man is always looking down on things, and people, of course, and as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. The Pharisee had fooled himself. He said, God, I thank you that I am not like those other people. But he was like those other people. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans. There was a man on trial, one time charged with burglary. And I can't say that word burglary, but it's people who rob, you know what I mean? I never could say burglary. He was on trial for burglary, and he was standing before the judge. And he said, "Judge, I can't try your case, but you can do one thing. You can either have me judge it, or you can have a jury trial of your peers." The man thought for a minute. He said, "Your Honor, what are peers?" The judge said, "They're people just like you." The defendant said, "Forget it. I don't want to be tried by a bunch of thieves. Whether it is a big sin or a little sin, all of our peers are sinners, and we are peers to all sinners saved by grace." This man was even fooled in his prayer, talking about the Pharisee. He stood and prayed by himself. The Greek language is very literal. It says it to himself. Now, I can't speak Greek or can't read Greek, but I got a book that tells me what these Greek words mean and so forth, and that's a good thing. Someone said, only God sends away people in person full of himself. Prideful prayer is nothing more than an echo in your own ears. The man was talking to his next door neighbor, and he said, "Hey, you know my wife goes around talking to herself all the time. It's incessant. She talks to herself." And the neighbor said, "Oh, that's just terrible. Does she know that she's doing it?" He said, "No, she thinks I'm listening to her." Well, this man didn't understand that God does not listen to your lips. He listens to your heart. And when your heart is full of pride, no matter what your prayer is, he shuts a deaf ear. Now, the contrast that Jesus gives in this parable had been easily recognized in hearing this parable. A tax collector. He was different than the Pharisee, as the Pope is from the pimp. Tax collectors were the scum of society in them days. They skimmed the extra money off of the top from taxes, and they would steal candy from a baby and a welfare check from their own mother. They were considered traitors to the nation of Israel, and they were so despised that they could not hold public office or give testimony in a Jewish courtroom because their word was considered worthless. Now, the tax collector was to the Pharisee what the outlaw is to the sheriff. This man, no doubt, was a liar, cheat, traitor, swindler, a reprobate. But now the story takes a strange twist. The Pharisee tries to impress God, but he didn't. The tax collector did impress God without even trying, because now we see what really impresses God. Humility impresses God. "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher." Tax collector was humble as the Pharisee was proud. The tax collector standing afar off where the Pharisee went to the center of the church, and the Jews stood in the sunshine. The tax collector stood on the outer edges of the church. And you could see it in his eyes as we read on that he would not so much raise his eyes to heaven. The Pharisee was too proud to look up. The tax collector was too ashamed to look up. You see, in his hands, we read that he was beating his breath, in effect that he was saying, "I know I have a filthy heart, O Lord." And you could hear it in his voice, for he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." God heard his prayer, and Jesus said, "I tell you this, this man went down to his house justified other than the other." A highway to heaven is paved with humility. Now, on the outside, you would have thought that the Pharisee was much closer to God because of all the things that he did righteously and put his hands together and all of that. But it says in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as to have a contrite spirit." So what impresses God so much was this man was willing to humble himself without waiting on God to do it for him. Did you know that God has a way of humbling you and me if we don't take the first step of humbling ourselves? God delights and exalts the humble, and in humbling, the exalted. But the other thing that impresses God, and I'll close with this, God is honest. The Greek language has a word that simply says, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that word merciful in the Greek word goes back to the Hebrew word kippur, which literally means atonement. Yom Kippur, we looked at it not too many weeks ago, the Day of Atonement. And the word atonement simply means to cover. What did Jesus do with his blood? He covered our sins. What this man was really saying, that I'm exposing my heart, O Lord, a sinful person as me, cover me. It hit me as I was thinking about this. There is only one thing worse than being a sinner. The only thing worse than being a sinner is not admitting that you are one. Now, the reason why Jesus told this story is to illustrate a principle. And I know that. But let us bring down this parable to where the rubber meets the road, as we say. Because there are several applications. First of all, we learn that it is not how you see God, but how God sees you. Secondly, when you see God the way you should see God, then you will see the way that you really are. Finally, mercy is not what God pays you because you tell him you have earned it. It is what God gives you when you admit to him that you need it. That's God's grace. Many years ago, there was a man, it was in the orchestra of the Emperor of China. He applied and he got accepted, although he never could play a single note. So when the orchestra got together to practice, he would take his flute, he'd hold it up to his lips and pretend to play, not making a sound. For years, he had received a good salary and enjoyed a comfortable living as being part of the emperor's orchestra. And then one day, the emperor did something special. He said, I'd like to have a solo from each musician. Well, the flutist got very nervous, and there wasn't time for him to learn that instrument. He pretended to be sick, but the royal physician was informed on the day of his solo performance, the impostor took poison and killed himself. Now, the explanation of this suicide led to a phrase in the English language. He failed to face the music. Two ways to impress God is simply face the music. You can face the music now or be a part of the heavenly band, or you can face the music later and be kicked out of the orchestra, so to speak. So when you realize that you're without God, and on a daily moment, and by moment, realize that you depend on him, you have impressed God. God loves you. He said he would care for you and give you a heavenly home.